Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Michael Krasny. Supported by President Trump, Texas petitioned the Supreme Court to overturn election results in Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, alleging that they suffered from unconstitutional irregularities. But local officials from both parties have concluded that there has been no fraud. We'll hear about the suit and the California legislators supporting it. Then at 9:30, the Federal Trade Commission and 46 states sued Facebook this week, accusing the social media company of illegally wielding its monopoly power and harming consumers. We'll talk to the Washington Post senior tech policy reporter, Tony Rahm, about what's at stake. That's all next, after this news. Welcome to this morning's forum. I'm Michael Krasny. President Donald Trump's lawsuits to contest the election results, riddled with errors and bogus claims, have consistently failed in the courts. Even so, more than 100 House Republicans on Thursday signed an amicus brief in support of a lawsuit by Texas Attorney General seeking to overturn the results in four swing states. And joining us to talk about the dangers of Trump's efforts, including threats against election officials by his supporters, is New York Times columnist Michelle Goldberg. And welcome, Michelle Goldberg. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I guess the place to begin here is we're in whole new territory here. For quite some time, there was talk about the president's right and this administration's right to challenge what might be fraud, and they've been turned down at every corner in terms of the lawsuit. So now we have Ken Paxton, Attorney General of Texas, who is under federal investigation himself and facing legal problems that he may want a pardon for, along with 17 other attorneys general. These are the highest legal officers in 17 states saying, let's throw out 10 million votes. We're really in new territory here, or are we just in a publicity stunt?
I think it doesn't matter if it's just a publicity stunt. If the publicity stunt is the majority of Republican state attorney generals saying, let's overthrow American democracy, it's not that much of a defense to say that they're just going along with it because they don't necessarily think that it will work. They're both convincing millions and millions of Americans that there is a legitimate case here, and also that, both that the election is stolen and that an election result that they don't like should be set aside. And in some ways, it's just the natural outgrowth of language that you've heard from the Republican Party preceding Trump, but I think that got worse and worse with Trump, about kind of quote unquote real Americans and who constitutes, the people. If you are the people, then of course your votes are the ones that count, and you should have the right to elect your president, and anybody who opposes you is illegitimate. And I think that, we've been heading towards the delegitimization of the majority of the American public that votes against Republicans for some time. But what we have now is a place where it's really explicit, and it's hard to see how you govern a country when you have both a minority party that has, kind of veto power over a great many governing decisions and has given up on the shared project of democratic constitutional governance.
Yeah, I think that's all really well said. We also have the alarming sense of only 27 members of the Republican Party in both houses of Congress saying that the Biden election is a legitimate election. I wonder also if we can see this in terms of a certain kind of gamesmanship here. The president has often been described as someone who operates in a transactional universe. He appointed three people to the Supreme Court. We think about Bush v. Gore, and maybe he feels he can actually pull this one out of the fire and get the Supreme Court behind him.
I mean, I think that that may well be the case. In reading reporting on the president, it seems like the people that he's talking to are telling him that this is a possibility. You know, and I recently read the great New York magazine, the great New York magazine reporter Olivia Nuzzi wrote that, you know, he's sort of only listening at this point to people who are making it seem like this is a live option. You know, but I think with this president, it's always hard to tell the difference between what he really believes and what is just a bluff or a con. I'm not sure that there's a bright line between those two things in his own mind. This is how he's responded both to every election that he's lost. You know, this is how he responded when he lost the Iowa primary or the Iowa caucuses in 2016. And it's also how he's responded to elections when he won, but when he lost the popular vote and he insisted there was fraud, right? So he told us he was going to do this. It's been obvious that he was going to do this. It's not surprising that he's going to do this. And it's maybe not surprising that most Republicans are going along with it, or that so many Republicans are going along with it. But it's still shocking and it's still frightening, right? Just because the coup attempt is likely to fail, just because it's in some ways ludicrous, doesn't make the fact that, you know, such a large percentage of Republican elected officials are kind of pro-coup any less frightening.
Now, you use the word coup, and we should mention Zeynep Tufekci, who's a Turk writer, had an article in The Atlantic all about whether or not this is a coup, and he compared it to Turkey and said, yes, it is a coup. But I think also in The Atlantic, David Graham and you in your columns have used the word autogulp, which may be more accurate. It's an attempt at a kind of auto coup here, isn't it?
Right, which is basically a coup when you're already in power and you then, you know, kind of subvert constitutional mechanisms to be removed from power, right? So you're, you know, elected or sort of legitimately installed in power, and then you use illegitimate means to stay in power. And yes, that's obviously what Donald Trump is attempting. And again, I don't think it's going to work. And I think Democrats have been in a difficult place because they don't want to give credence to the idea that this is a live possibility by overreacting to it. And yet at the same time, by sort of, you know, just kind of laughing at it or laughing it off or not reacting with, you know, real outrage, I think it's there's just no pushback, right? There's no calling of the bluffs of these members of Congress, of these state AGs, who are really committing very serious transgressions against democracy, right? Some people have suggested that Nancy Pelosi should refuse to seat the members of Congress who are saying that the elections in their states are illegitimate. I wish that they were considering that. I wish that they were considering some sort of escalation. You know, I wish that there was, you know, kind of bigger moves to have some of the lawyers involved disbarred for bringing, you know, kind of cases full of blatant falsehoods.
But there's a lot of the eating up of an undermining of democracy here. I think you've hit on what concerns so many people, but I'm also
I think in other countries, when you attempt a coup or an autogulp or, you know, whatever you want to call this, and you fail, there are consequences, and absent consequences, there's no reason, save fidelity to the Republic, which obviously they don't have, to just kind of constantly push and push and push.
Well, you also had an opinion piece that I was quite struck by. The headline was, what's worse, making Sarah Sanders leave a restaurant or terrorizing election officials? This has gone into new territory in that realm as well. I mean, it's as if civility has simply disappeared or been abolished or annihilated. And we're seeing election officials being threatened. We're seeing people with arms and guns show up at the Secretary of State's house in both Michigan and in Georgia. This is also unprecedented territory, new territory, which is really very alarming.
And the reaction to those two things, you know, to kind of Sarah Sanders having to leave a restaurant and to armed protesters showing up outside of state election officials' houses and screaming obscenities, the reaction to those two things has been very different, right? When Sarah Sanders had to leave the Red Hen, it was sort of, there was like weeks of thumb-sucking discussion about it. I mean, after I wrote about it, a TV crew came to my house to interview me about it. It was a big, big story about civility and have the Democrats gone too far? And, you know, Democrats in Congress were asked to answer for this. You know, do you think this is okay? And because, you know, Republicans sort of benefit from, you know, you could call it the soft bigotry of no expectations. Nobody expects better of them. And so, and they have really no incentive to rein in their far right flank because our electoral system has really insulated them from electoral consequences. And so, again, there's sort of no check on how far they're willing to go. And that's why I think, you know, these are all symptoms of a deeper crisis of democracy. The problem in America right now is minority rule. It's that our, you know, both the kind of underlying structures of our democracy and then some of the ways they've been manipulated through gerrymandering and the like, mean that Republicans don't need to win majorities to exercise power. And when you don't have to appeal to the majority of the American people, it removes an important kind of democratic check, right? That's how a democracy is supposed to work. It's supposed to, if you kind of violate the deepest values of a majority of your countrymen, they will punish you for it. If they can't punish you for it, then again, the whole system starts to crack.
Talking, if you've just joined us, with Michelle Goldberg and talking about new lawsuits seeking to overturn the results of the election in four swing states. She's a columnist with the New York Times. And by the way, there are three California Republican legislators who signed the amicus brief. We invited them to join us. They did not respond. I'm talking about Representatives Calvert, McClintock, and LaMalfa. But if you would like to join us, I'd like to invite you to do that now. You can give us a call and be part of the program. The number to call, 866-733-6786. That's a toll-free number from wherever or however you're listening to Forum, 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email any questions you may have to forum@kqed.org. Happened to see an interview that Lou Dobbs did with Stephen Miller, and actually that was an interview, Michelle Goldberg, that one of your competitive opinion writers, Paul Waldman for the Washington Post, wrote about. And he said that compared to Sean Hannity, Lou Dobbs was like Edward R. Murrow. I thought that was a very good line, by the way, because Lou Dobbs was yelling and fulminating about how necessary it was to protest this stolen election. And he remarked, Waldman remarked about how it seemed as if Stephen Miller was kind of placid about this. And the assumption that he came to was that maybe they're just doing this, the Republicans, as a scam. They've already raised about $200 million in donations. They're paying off a campaign debt. Maybe money's going to a new PAC for 2024. How much do you see that as the lining in this, or as part of the calculus even?
I think that's definitely part of the calculus. It's obviously part of the calculus with the president, where a lot of this money, you know, as you mentioned, he's kind of raising money for some sort of legal defense fund, but it's really just going into a fund for his post-presidential activities. You know, so obviously, you know, everything the president does, there's an element of it being a con or a scam. The problem is that, you know, tens of millions of people in the country don't understand that, right? Tens of millions of people in the country take the president and take the leaders of the Republican Party at their word.
Well, we will continue with our guest, Michelle Goldberg, and we're going to take your calls when we return. I also ought to mention the fact that some have been speculating, a lot of hypotheses about this, that the president simply, by all means, wants to especially avoid the possibility of prosecution from Cy Vance or Letitia Jones in New York courts, which can go after him even if he gives himself a pardon. We'll hear more, and we'll hear from you when we return. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about new lawsuits seeking to overturn the results of the election in four swing states with Michelle Goldberg, columnist for the New York Times. If you'd like to join the program, we invite you to do so. You can join us at our toll-free number. The number to call is 866-733-6786. If you'd like to weigh in here, again, the number to call, 866-733-6786. Or get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email us, forum@kqed.org. Robert writes, Michelle Goldberg, isn't it time for all Republicans with honor to leave their party, the most extreme mainstream party on earth, which does not believe in democracy as a form of government, but rather has turned into a personality cult? Will you be able to look your grandchildren in the eye? Well, what about those like Gabriel Sterling or Brad Raffensperger in Georgia, who were Republican, are Republicans, and spoke out rather strongly?
So I think that we should be really grateful to, you know, Republican election officials in several different states who did put, you know, sort of fidelity to the Constitution and to their system and to democracy above just kind of blatant partisan power interests. You know, at the same time, I'm really so I really do admire what people like Sterling are doing, and I don't think we should minimize how difficult that is, right? It's really difficult to break with the people who make up your ideological and professional world. At the same time, I think it's striking that, you know, these are people who they're justly outraged that Donald Trump and his minions are targeting civilians for conspiracy theories, death threats, you know, kind of lies, slanders. At the same time, the very fact that they supported Donald Trump until it started happening to them, you know, sort of says something about where the line is, right? There's this famous internet meme, you know, I never thought the leopard would eat my face, says the woman who voted for the leopard eating faces party. And so I do think that obviously it's time for decent Republicans to leave the Republican Party. And I think that with very few exceptions, most of them have.
Well, they're eating their own right now. I mean, when you think about Governor Brian Kemp, they're screaming, lock him up at a rally, or for that matter, Doug Ducey in Arizona, Sidney Powell.
And Fox News. I mean, I think that's one of the only darkly satisfying things about this monster that, you know, so many cynical Republicans have created is that it's now turning on them, right? I think that Fox News, for example, you know, Murdoch thought that they could, you know, divorce an entire audience from reality, right? Rile them up and close them in a self-contained bubble of lies, and that they would be able to keep them there and sort of control its parameters, you know, and what they're finding is that they've created a monster that they can't control and that will turn on them as soon as, you know, as soon as someone like Donald Trump takes a position that even Fox News, or at least even the kind of ostensibly, you know, repertorial parts of Fox News where they're not willing to follow him, you know, the base is now turned on Fox News. And so,
well, forgive me, Michelle, but I think some of this has to do with the changing of the guard and power in Fox News from father to son. But I want to get some callers on and hear what our listeners have to say. And let me go to Judith first. Judith, you're on. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you, Michelle. My question is, why are we not hearing anything about the absurd contradiction in efforts to overturn and declare fraudulent votes that voted probably for a Republican Senate in which the Democrats lost perhaps 10 houses in Congress and in which the Republicans won most of the state legislature votes? Would they invalidate those votes as well? And I haven't heard any conversation about that.
Yeah, Judith, an important question, and I thank you for it. Michelle, what about all that? I mean, down ballots and so forth that went for the Republicans?
Well, look, I think that the Republican Party at this point is impervious to hypocrisy because, you know, hypocrisy sort of implies that you have a set of values that you are not living up to. And, you know, when your only value is raw power and you sort of glory in having one sort of set of standards for yourself and another set of standards for your enemies, then, you know, hypocrisy is not a sin or really an operative frame. I do think that the only way to make that contradiction matter politically, as I said earlier, would be for Nancy Pelosi to really call their bluff and say, if your election was illegitimate, was fraudulent, you are not going to be seated in this Congress.
And we go to another caller. Let me bring Matt on from San Jose. Matt, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. So given how crazy so many of these people from conservative areas have been acting. You know, getting together with a lot of guns, driving around on trucks. Who's going to show up if one of these very well-armed groups starts shooting?
Well, that's exactly what was we mentioned Gabriel Sterling before. He said somebody's going to get killed. And I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Michelle, but we're sort of on the verge of the possibility of something of a civil insurrection here, some think.
I don't know if it would go so far as civil insurrection, but I certainly think that some sort of violence is, you know, has been predicted and is predictable. That's kind of how this works. We've seen again and again, not just Donald Trump, but the right in general.
Well, remember the guy who sent pipe bombs out to Trump critics?
Right. And there's a term for this, which is sort of stochastic terrorism, you know, that you incite, tell people, you know, someone has to do something, and eventually someone does, even if it's someone with no direct connection to you. And I would be surprised if we didn't have at least some of that. You know, some of Donald Trump's followers have always acted on what Donald Trump says. And the fact is, if his followers take him seriously, if they really do believe that the election is being stolen from them by some cabal of sinister foreign interests, then, you know, then it makes sense that they would respond in extreme ways.
Yeah. And here's Frank joining us next. Frank, thanks for waiting. You're on.
Good morning. And Ms. Goldberg, thank you very much for your writing. I really like it. I have a question for you in your role. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Frank. Go ahead, please.
Okay, good. I was in a tunnel. Sorry. I agree totally with your diagnosis, doctor, but what's your prognosis? What's your prescription? Is it structural reform? Given the Supreme Court's recent political gerrymandering decision, that's kind of problematic. Or is it a matter for the Democratic Party to go back and reclaim an electorate that, if you really look at it, should be the Democratic territory? And I must say, I think the debate in the Democratic Party about left versus center is destructive in that context. But what's your call? I'm eager to hear it.
I think you want a prescription here, Frank, or at least a way of sort of recouping from the damage that's been done.
And I think that's very, very difficult, right? If I had one, I would be out, you know, flogging a book about it. And part of what makes it so difficult is that, you know, again, our Constitution is increasingly behaving like a sort of boa constrictor around democracy and making democratic reform or, you know, making sort of any expression of majority will more and more difficult. In the short term, as I've written before, and this may not be very satisfying, the one thing that would pop this bubble, that would bring some of this to an end, that would impose a price on the Republican Party for what they're doing, would be a victory in the Georgia Senate runoffs on January 5th. And so anybody who has any sort of excess energy or resources should be looking in that direction. You know, but kind of long term, the only hope is to, you know, expand the Senate by adding new states, to adopt voting reforms, to end gerrymandering. But, you know, it's a sort of catch-22, because in order to make the reforms that would let the majority exercise its will, you first have to win under the system that we have.
And we've got seconds left here, but I'm curious to get your response to the fact that Attorney General Bill Barr has actually said there was absence of fraud. Nobody expected that from one in such a Roy Cohn role as he has had, sycophantic, some many call it. And he knew, apparently, of a couple of probes of Hunter Biden and kept those under wraps. So the Trump people are talking even more now about deep state, and if they can possibly talk more about that.
Well, look, I think it's, I mean, on the one hand, it's just another example of, you know, of the revolution eating its own. You know, there's sort of no amount of abasement, no amount of fealty to Trump, as Jeff Sessions learned, will keep you safe if, you know, if there's a line which you ultimately decide you won't cross. I think that Bill Barr would have gone all the way if there had been even a little speck of evidence of voter fraud for him to pursue. I think the fact that he hasn't been able to find anything is a testament to really how cleanly this election was conducted.
Michelle Goldberg, appreciate very much your being with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
That's Michelle Goldberg. She's a columnist with the New York Times.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.